Okay.
Good.
All happy?
Yes.
Happy clapping? office. If you find it difficult in the class, you come to us in the break. No question is stupid. Every question is important. All right. What is United Nations? United Nations is an organization. Is Rwanda a member of United Nations?
Yes.
Definitely is.
Last year. So the new countries are in.
things are up. If you can answer that Security Council has 15 members, 5 permanent, and this body is the decision making of the peacekeeping, have it. Okay? We will repeat it. It will also be in some of the documents that we will provide you. And I know that everyone has a mobile phone. You can Google. Yes? Very good. We are good at Google.
Peace up to UN operation, military.
So United Nations tell Rwanda that when Rwanda wants to deploy police officers, minimum 25% of the team should be female.
Mission.
The first time And the word is homework. You have to do your homework for you to pass the test so that you can be deployed and have many great opportunities in your future.
Right now, it's Mr. Faisal Shaka in Pakistan.
officer will be in a peacekeeping mission. It is different doing police back home than doing it in the mission. Right? Home in Rwanda, you know the law, you know your job, you know that if you have to arrest a person, you are allowed to do that. In Rwanda, you are the police, you have handcuffs, and you do the normal police job, right? In the mission, you are a police officer on the ground, but you're not policing. You are not arresting people. You are not doing the investigation. That is the South Sudan police who do that. But you are there to support them, to train them, to mentor them, for them to do a better job. So this is the strange part when police officers go to the mission, that they leave the handcuff home. The power of being a police officer, you leave it home. The power you bring to the mission is your knowledge and expertise, which you can give to the host state, South Sudan, Congo police, Central African police, whatever police you are serving. It's not easy to see this, but there are three types of categories of police in the UN mission. The first one, individual police officer, abbreviation IPO, noted. Individual police officer, that will be you. So you are sent to the peacekeeping mission as an individual police officer, but you're going in the contingent of many more from Rwanda, right? But each are individual. You have to take care of yourself. You have to find a place to live. You have to find food. You have to find whatever you need in the mission. United Nations is not doing it for you. Then you have, and you will meet in the mission, professional or contracted police officer. For example, the commissioner. The commissioner has a contract. can do and cannot do in the mission. So they tell us, no, you cannot walk around and the rest and shoot people. Okay, so what can we do? You can do training. You can mentor. You can monitor local police. You can advise the local police. We do that in a community-oriented policing way. And we always have the power to protect civilians. And this last one, the protection of civilians, it's something that came into the United Nations after some huge atrocities in the world, which unfortunately one of happened in your lovely country. And the other was the massacre in Srebrenica in former Yugoslavia. This changed the United Nations to focus. So everyone in the United Nations have a mandate to protect civilians. Never forget it. What is capacity building and sector security sector for? In many of the countries that you will be deployed, the police doesn't function. It's corrupt. They don't have a good legal system. It's only maybe the police officer from one ethnic group. Minority don't get into the police. Maybe they don't have female police. They don't have any training. So what are we doing? We are building their capacity. We train them, advise them, and mentor them to do a better job. Some places in South Sudan, in the rural area, these people, they don't have nothing. It's just sand, it's desert. They don't have nothing. They don't have a jail. So when they arrest a person, they put chains around their foot, tie it to a tree, and that's the chain. That's what they have. When I was in Afghanistan, many of the African police officers, they could not even write their own name. How can they follow the law? If you cannot even write your own name, they couldn't write or read the license plate on the car of the cars. They couldn't check ID cards because they couldn't read. So we have to enhance our capacity and capability to do the job. That's what you are going to do. You are in this room because you have the right skill set. You are police officers and you are ladies. And with that skill set and knowledge, you can train, mentor, and advise host nation police. Okay?
Yes.
Comprende?
Yes.
Good. There is something called executive mandate. There are two different types of the way we do policing. The first one, is a traditional mandate. Two times in the history, United Nations and United Nations Police have had something called executive mandate. Only East Timor and Kosovo in former Yugoslavia, we as United Nations Police had executive mandate. This means that when I was in in 2000, East Timor, they didn't have a police. So we trained the police from police officer number one. So the UN police had to be the police in the country until we had trained enough people for them to take over. So the UN do the job himself. So only two times in history, East Timor, Kosovo, this has happened. So right now, there are no mission with executive mandate. Only with capacity building, protection of civilian, training, mentoring, mandate. That's it.
Thank you.
Commissioner General. But I dare to go to Afghanistan 3 times in my life. 2 years I lived there. But don't overthink. As long as you've done your homework, you're prepared, you fix everything. Lot of opportunities in the mission, lot of work opportunities that you will get. And you are young, you have the future in front of you. I thought we all, I'm done. This 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words, write it down, know it by heart. In the interview, I can promise you one thing. One of the questions you will be asked to answer is related to you and core values. And UN has 3 core values: integrity, professionalism, respect for diversity. So when I ask you on Thursday, what are the UN core values? Then you will answer me, integrity. It's about you to be professional. That you have pride in work. That you show up on duty, on time. That's to be professional. That you do the job in a good way, the best way you can do. That's being professional. And all of you, if you were not able to be, have integrity, to be professional, and to have respect for diversity, you would never be selected to sit here in this room today. And you are all doing that, of course. And these are the UN core values, which is highly respected and highly demanded from the leadership. And then, unfortunately, you will most probably, in the mission, meet colleagues who don't follow anything. Right? You will have colleagues who buy prostitutes. You will have colleagues who steal stuff. You will have colleagues who show up on duty 2 hours too late. But as long as you follow the rules and respect the rules, that's more important. And you have actually started to do something about this. My first UN mission was in 1997. And at that time, United Nations almost never investigated bad behavior. Now, they do. If you are investigated for crime or abuse of power or not following the core values, you can be investigated and repatriated home. And then something But he was not doing the wrong thing. But it's difficult. These are of course sensitive matters, whole, in Rwanda, in Norway, very sensitive matters. And then when we come to the diversity missions, it's even more difficult. But United Nations have started to do something about it. They don't want to see sexual exploitation and abuse. It's zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. If anyone in the mission give money to a child to have sex with that child, it will be very shameful, an investigation for that officer and also for the country. United Nations doesn't keep secret. Everyone will know. They send that officer home in shame. Believe me, that's happened. So in the United Nations, you have zero tolerance for sexual exploitation and abuse done by anyone. So, you are now here. We do training for the test. We are not going to test you, okay? We are not the testers. The testers are three officers who will come to Rwanda the week after we are done. And this mandate is important. The week after valid for 2 years. can buy a whole set of things in the mission area, but the first month is very stressful, and maybe you don't have time to go to a shop. This is about the end of the study.
Or
homework.
Homework. Then you go to the mission area. You will go through something called induction training. You will go through another interview. You will be deployed to a job. Maybe not your dream job, because you will be put you where you need you. After 90 days on duty, you can apply for another job in the mission area. You will get all of these information. And after a year, 2 years, ta-da, check out. Thank you.